to guide us tonight to a taste of Purim. We're giving you the praise because our ears are working. Our eyes are working. Our hearts are hearing and comprehending that your plan is unfolding. Not just for Joe, but for us. All of us. In Jesus' name. Amen? So I want to take you to Esther chapter 9. Because again, you're going to see, most of you have probably seen the movie. At least I've seen it a couple times, and it's really beautiful. But when Hadassah, I believe, is the movie. Hadassah. It was very well done, by the way. I don't remember who did the movie, but it is definitely very good. So, on the 13th day of the 12th month, chapter 9, verse 1, the month of Adar, the edict commanded by the king was to be carried out. On this day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them. But now, the tables were turned, and the Jews got the upper hand over those who hated them. If you look at what the hatred that has been perpetrated against the Father, it's pretty clear. Now, I hadn't thought about this before, but if I remember correctly, Aura's dad never was a part of the picture. So her hatred towards men is towards you. And that is a package deal from darkness. That's how he destroys. Okay? So watch now. But now the tables were turned. The tables turned today. Okay? And the Jews got the upper hand over those who hated them. The Jews assembled in their cities, in all the provinces of King Xerxes, to attack those seeking their destruction. Watch now. They attacked. All right? Those seeking their destruction. No one could stand against them because the people of all the other nationalities were afraid of them. How did they get fearful? Because God was in control. He was overseeing the whole package. 2022 broke through today. And all the nobles of the provinces of the satraps and the governors and the king's administrators helped the Jews because fear of Mordecai had seized them. So now, is God able to use the spirit of fear against his own people? Yeah. So, you see, some are under an anointing of fear and they change their attitude. Mordecai was prominent in the palace. His reputation spread throughout the provinces and he became more and more powerful. The Jews struck down all their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying them, and they did what they pleased to those who hated them. Hear me now. They did what they pleased to those who hated them. The day of vengeance had arrived. In the citadel of Susa, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. That's not part of the movie. They also killed Pahadatha, Dalphon, Aspatha, forgive me for all the names. Verse 10, the 10 sons of Haman, son of Hamathatha, the enemy of the Jews, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder. That puzzled me. They did not touch what was left behind after these men were killed. The finances, the homes, the properties, the bank accounts, etc. Okay? And I thought that was pretty deep. I don't know why that was important, but it seemed to be important. The number of those slain in the citadel of Susa was reported to the king that same day. The king said to Queen Esther, now listen up, women. Sometimes your advice is going to be more crucial than you realize. Okay? So don't look at yourself as a defeated person. Because if the king can come and get instructions from Queen Esther, there is a king in heaven, and he will check with the bride, meaning the church and the women in the bride. Got it? The Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men and 10 sons of Haman in the citadel of Susa. That would be, from my understanding, the governing authorities in Washington, D.C. Okay? Of today. I'm not saying that that's what is going on. I'm just using that as a picture. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is your petition? It will be given you. And what's your request? It will also be granted. Notice it's a request and a petition. She responds, 13. If it please the king, Esther answered, give the Jews of Susa permission to carry out this day the edict tomorrow also, and let Haman, 10 sons, be hanged on the gallows. So the king commanded that this be done. An edict was issued in Susa, and they hanged the 10 sons of Haman. The Jews in Susa came together on the 14th day of the month of Adar, and they put to death in Susa 300 men, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder. Now that's twice. 500 the first time, 300 more. They did not touch the plunder. Meanwhile, the remainder of the Jews who were in the king's provinces also assembled to protect themselves and get relief from their enemies. So they've been under this pressure for a long time. They killed 75,000 of them, but did not lay a hand on the plunder. Now do you see the numbers graduating? 75,000 swamp people that were anti-Jew have now been what? Eliminated, yes. I'm being nice. Again, third time now. Their plunder, what? Not touched. This happened on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th they rested and made it a day of feasting and joy. That's why we got that special bread. Amen? Amen. Feasting and joy. Purim celebrated. The Jews in Susa, however, had assembled on the 13th and the 14th, and then on the 15th day rested and made it a day of feasting and joy. That is why rural Jews, those living in the villages, observed the 14th day of the month of Adar as a day of joy and feasting, a day of giving presents to each other. Got it? Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the province of King Xerxes, near and far, to have them celebrate annually the 14th and the 15th day of the month of Adar, as the time when the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the months when their sorrow was turned into joy, and their mourning into the day of celebration. He wrote them to observe the day as days of feasting and joy, and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews agreed to continue the celebration they had begun, doing what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman's son, Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had cast the lot, for their ruin and destruction. But when the plot came to the king's attention, he issued written orders that the evil scheme Haman had devised against the Jews should come back onto his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore, these days were called Purim, from the word pur, because of everything written in this letter, and because of what they had seen and what had happened to them, the Jews took it upon themselves to establish the customs that they and their descendants of and all who joined them shout without fail observe these 2 days every year in the way prescribed and at the time appointed. These days should be remembered and observed in every generation by every family and every province in every city. And these days of Purim should never cease to be celebrated by the Jews, for should the memory of them die out among their descendants, so Queen Esther's daughter of Abigail, along with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm this second letter concerning Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews in 127 provinces of the kingdom of Xerxes, words of goodwill and assurance, to establish these days of Purim at their designated time, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had decreed for them, and as they had established for themselves and their descendants in regard to their times of fasting and lamentations. Esther's decree confirmed these regulations about Purim, and it was written down in the records. King Xerxes, chapter 10, imposed tribute throughout the empire to its distant shores and all its acts of power and might, together with the full account of the greatness of Mordecai, to which the king had raised him up. Are they not written in the book and the annals of the king of Media and Persia? Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Xerxes, preeminent among the Jews and held in high esteem by his many fellow Jews, because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of all Jews. Now, as I'm reading, I'm having a sense of the Jews in Ukraine right now. And they're going to be celebrating this. Is it the time for them to be set free? Are they going to be declaring, are we now going to have freedom? I pray that that's the case. Because you see, out of the darkness of what's happened in America, with the darkness that has been ruling, you have a picture that's very similar. You've got the swamp in Washington. You've got it in every state. You can see the fruits of the lies and the deception against believers and the church. Let's face it, the goal is, I mean, you know, the other night I listened to Robin Bullock, and he he was using sign language, which was kind of cool. And, you know, making sure that everybody is going to be like a guinea pig, ready to be done to them, whatever that the enemy wants. And you see the picture of Haman here. That's what he did. I mean, if you go back in the beginning of this whole process, it was not pretty for the Jews. But my surprise was that all these finances, they were not taking it. See, the Jews didn't take the money from the bad guys. I believe the end result was that the king used Mordecai to divide it up into where it was needed the most. And that's kind of my sense. It doesn't say that. But my sense is that the reason why it was written three times, they didn't take the money, is because, again, a Jewish person who's living under the law is not going to steal just because the people are dead. All right? They're going to leave it there until the one that's in charge is going to what? Oversee and get it distributed. You've got a picture of that in Joseph. When Joseph was told that, you know, he's now the second in command, the king says, now everything we have is at your disposal. And he built reservation of food and finances, etc., for all the people of Egypt. So you've got a similarity between these two. Mordecai became the second in command, and he was the abused person. It's the same picture. Now, if you go a little bit deeper, if you look at what God has done with his son, Jesus Christ, he was also persecuted, but he came out of the grave. Who's in command in the heavens today? Papa's on the throne, and who's the second in command?
Jesus.
And I thought that's kind of cool. You know, we don't realize sometimes what Jesus is doing in the heavenlies. But he is on the job, and he's distributing things as he sees fit, because he's still the king, and the queen is here. Lift one hand to the Lord. Say, Holy Spirit, let me understand that I am the bride of Christ, and the supplier is the boss. He's sitting next to Daddy. And he will let me have what I need. Because he loves us. We're his bride. Thank you, Jesus. Let me comprehend what a bride receives. Full attention from the bridegroom. Thank you for the king who listened to his wife, the queen. And she was able to say, when he said to her, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? It will also be granted. If it please the king, Esther answered, give the Jews in Susa permission to carry out this day the edict tomorrow. Also, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. So the king commanded that this be done. An edict was issued in Susa, and they hanged the 10 sons of Haman. The Jews in Susa came together on the 14th day of the month of Adar, and they put to death in Susa 300 men. But they did not lay hands on the plunder, because I believe the reason that they didn't take the plunder is because they were waiting for a word from the king. So let us now realize that when we are watching what is being done right now in Ukraine, what's going on with the Russian people, the people that are at the head of whatever they're doing, whatever they have been allowed to do for a season, God is still on the throne. Jesus is still Lord. He's not going to run away in the opposite direction. He's going to stay focused and give instructions so that there will be equality in the end. And that's what I see out of this experience that Queen Esther did. It took a lot of courage for her to go forward in obedience. And, you know, we have people that are in very dire situations that are very difficult right now, especially in this same week. And I don't want to go into details. I just want to say, Holy Spirit, I know that I know that I know that you have multiples of levels of revelation available. And we ask that you would download those gifts and provide answers for those that are seeking you, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, you will release your Spirit to bring forth grace and favor to all those that are struggling. Those that are struggling in Canada. Those that are struggling in the United States. Those that are struggling in the Ukraine and in Russia. Because I don't believe for one moment that this whole situation that's going on is not bringing all kinds of pressure to a lot of believers in multiples of churches all over the world. That includes the church which is underground in China. So, Father, I thank you for the nations. I thank you for the anointing that comes as we celebrate this victory tonight. And we thank you for all that you have done. And we believe and receive it by faith in Jesus' name.